Tuesday. Slow news week. Sure seems like. No, it's been quite the opposite. Legends of the game moving on or being asked to move on. We had Pete Carroll yesterday with Seattle. We heard yesterday about Nick Saban and today about Bill Belichick, or at least last night. Was it last night or this morning? They're all running together at this stage. But Angel, I got to do a buddy check. Are you okay? Nick Saban is no longer the head coach of Alabama. Are you okay? Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
You're good. You're just good. I can't believe that.
You want me to pout? And cry? And
I want you to show some emotion for a legendary coach that was probably one of your sports heroes.
Sure.
And he's gone. Done.
I mean,
new era.
Hanging around.
Well,
he's still in the building. He's in the building this
morning. He'll be in the building, hanging out. That's another thing I want to talk about, because how do you coach knowing the legend is just hanging around? Is he going to come in and give you some advice, but it's not really advice? It's more like, you better do that. No, not like sad at all when you heard the news? Like, that sucks? Nothing? Just
sure. I mean, there's a genuine sadness. Like, you know, he's coached at Bama for most of my life and most of what I've watched there.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in the state, and that's, you know, it's all you hear about. You get into arguments with friends and family about him, and you admire the success and the longevity of his legacy and the standard that he has set at that university and the football program there. And it's tough. It's kind of just a big change that we have to all get used to.
Let it out, man. This is a safe place. This is a safe space here.
Yeah, you know, I was expecting it at some point in the near future.
Like, you thought maybe 4 or 5 years though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it is what it is.
See, when Nicolio, I'm just thinking of guys, like heroes of mine, like Shanahan, John Elway, those guys were the guys growing up for me. And when Shanahan was let go, I was obviously older and I was getting into the sports world where I felt stronger about, yeah, I'm a fan, but my logic is creeping in. Maybe it is time for Shanahan, and we can argue whether that really was the time to move on from Shanahan. But I remember John Elway retiring. And my whole family, like, it was emotional. They played maybe you can find that song today, because it might be fitting for all the legends leaving. Green Day's Time of Your Life, isn't that the song? They did a little montage thing of John Elway. It was before or after his retirement speech, and they played that. And it was my mom, my dad, it was me, it was my brother. I think my grandparents were over. My sisters didn't care. They were somewhere. And it was so emotional. It was just rough. And I remember thinking, it's never going to get as good as it was. We're never going to see a because you got to think about this. John Elway is known by most as one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. Top five, depending on who you ask, where they put him, but pretty close. So at that moment, I thought, how are they ever going to be this franchise that I grew up watching? Now, again, I was born in 86, and so as I was starting to understand sports and what it meant to be a fan and all that stuff, they were getting into the playoffs and winning Super Bowls. And so I got to see John Elway, like, at his absolute best in that 4 or 5 years where I really knew what was going on. I didn't witness the 80s when he had a couple of weird years, and then the Broncos got Maddox, and some fans wondered, maybe Maddox is the guy, maybe. But then Elway went right back and was amazing again. But when I started getting into it, they were becoming a playoff team. They got Shanahan. He kind of rounded this thing out. Terrell Davis exploded onto the scene. They drafted Shannon Sharpe in 1990. He became one of the revolutionary tight ends. They had a defense that was just really, really solid. I don't know if it stacks up to the Orange Crush or the no-fly zone, but it was good. I just remember in that moment thinking, man, it's not going to get any better than this. And I think about Nikola Jokic with the Nuggets. The day he retires, you go back to what it was before. Hopefully we get hopefully you get a Carmelo Anthony type guy to help change the franchise a little bit. He's probably going to leave. And then you got to get lucky somewhere along the way. These kind of things, Nick Saban, Nikola Jokic, John Elway, these kind of personalities and people in our sports world do not grow on trees. And this is why I put together my blog. I haven't done it in a while, but my Deep Thoughts from a Wandering Mind. Years ago, I was basically imploring fans, stop trying to push greatness out the door. You might be annoyed that Nick Saban is in the playoffs all the time and their team's always getting these top recruits and all these great players. You might be annoyed that Tom Brady is constantly winning and it's always about Brady. But we were witnessing so much greatness over the last few years. So I say take care to embrace those moments, even though they're not your team. Even though your team is in the dumps, whatever, you're still a sports fan at heart. Your team's struggling, your team gets knocked out of the playoffs. Life goes on in the sports world, and you can continue absorbing all that greatness. Be careful, because here we are now. You know, I don't even pay attention to how old I am anymore, Angel. I just know that when coaches that I knew 20 years ago were storming onto the scene are retiring, not even 20. I mean, Saban's obviously been around for a very long time, but when they were becoming the household names that we know as legends, when they start calling it quits, when Tom Brady calls it quits and Drew Brees and all those guys, you go, okay, yeah, I'm getting up there. I'm getting older. I'm starting to get older. And that's a very sobering thought. So yesterday and today, you lost. And again, we're throwing Pete Carroll in there. He's not in the same level as Bill Belichick, as Nick Saban, but you're talking about Pete Carroll probably was a legend of the game, did some really great things at USC, was really good at looking the other way when people got cars and stuff, and then went to Seattle, and he was in New England before that, but he went to Seattle, and obviously he created more of that. He became more into that legendary status. So it's fair to talk about him because they're moving on or getting fired or getting demoted but promoted, whatever that means. All in the same 24-hour news cycle, pretty much. So it's fair to kind of throw him in there, but let's be real. Bill Belichick and Nick Saban are two of the guys that stand above everybody else in college, pro, whatever. And I don't want to say it's depressing. It's just, I, for one, have never hated Nick Saban. Have I been annoyed by some of the things that he's said or done? Sure, all the coaches, even some of the favorite coaches I have. But I respected the greatness. And when they got in all the time and they were top 10 all the time and top 5 all the time, sometimes you have to stop hating so much and just take a step back and go, wow, these are truly the greats of these games. My dad, my grandpa, they would talk to me about the greats they saw growing up. You know, the quarterback greats and some of those great Cowboys teams and all of that. And I remember as a kid, I wonder if I'm ever going to be able to share those stories about the players that I grew up watching. And, you know, really, when I got into high school, after the Broncos won their second Super Bowl, I still have those memories of those teams and those players, but I don't have a lot, or I didn't have a lot for a long time with the Nuggets. I loved that team, but what was I going to do? You remember the days of LaPhonso Ellis and Antonio McDice? Those were the days. Got about 24 wins a season, but those were the days, man. You know, even with the Broncos. Yeah, I lost Elway. Brian Griese, though, anybody? Even Jake Plummer, who I love. I don't think that we're all going to be like sitting around by the campfire one day being like, gather around, boys and girls, let me tell you about Jake Plummer. There's just not a lot. They don't grow on trees. So what you're seeing now with the Nuggets and the Avs and the greatness that's on the ice and the court, not so much last night for the Nuggets, embrace it, enjoy it. And even if it's not your team, I'm not a big LeBron James fan, but I don't know that I'm ready to see him move on from the NBA. Because sometimes they're so great, you're entertained by the love-to-hate kind of thing, too. So Bill Belichick, they're moving on. Kind of a peaceful moving on, I guess. He has a year left on his contract, and Kraft and company are going to actually allow him to leave the team without the Patriots seeking compensation. So he does want to keep coaching. We know Bill Belichick wants to keep coaching. It sounds like Pete Carroll kind of still wants to keep coaching. But he's going to be more of an advisor role. Does he just stay in that role? Less responsibility. He's still an energetic guy. He still seems like he has a lot of fight left in him. Very emotional press conference from him yesterday. Nick Saban, on the other hand, you tell me. It sounds like he's probably done. He might get involved still, and he'll be involved with Bama and stuff, but I would imagine his coaching days, his head coaching days are done.
Yeah, it's tough to say. There's some rumors going around about some health issues with his wife potentially, and depending on whether or not she can recover quickly enough, you know, could he come back in a year or two? I know something he did say, like, it's harder to do a lot of the things I used to at 72 when I was 62. I don't doubt his passion. I don't doubt his wanting to coach. He said he wants to coach as long. He always said he wants to coach as long as he's still enjoying it. And I still think he enjoys it. I think the game has changed a lot in the last few years. I think where the game is going in the next few years is it's a lot of unknown, even for Nick Saban. He doesn't know what college football is going to look like in the next year or two. So, you know,
do you does he enjoy it? Like,
I think he enjoys the aspect of coaching and
right.
being an influence in these young men's lives.
Sure.
I don't know if he enjoys I think he enjoys recruiting. I think he likes to, you know, go meet families and spend time with these kids and get to know them. Obviously, that has changed a lot.
Yeah, I think that is going to impact a lot of coaches right now.
You know, there's a stat that any player that he recruited, if they played for 4 years, won a national championship at some point. And it gets a lot tougher to say, hey, if you commit to me for 3 to 4 years, you're going to have success. Now it's, can you commit to me for a year?
Right. So I think that all these coaches now, it's going to get more and more difficult whatever level you're at. And again, if you're making multi-millions of dollars a year, the booster club's paying for your house, it's easier to deal with that stress because you're not – it's not the NFL. The NFL, you could argue, is a way easier job than what they have going to college right now. I get it. You're dealing with grown men, and it's pretty strict, you know, as far as you better find success quickly or you're done. But college is about the same there as far as those expectations, depending on where you are. I just really feel that, and I'm not even saying it's an old school coach. It's not just coaches that are in their 70s that are frustrated with NIL. I've talked to several coaches in their 50s, in their 40s, that are like, it's not what I signed up for. I still love aspects of it. I love practice and recruiting and speaking into young people's lives and coaching on the floor, making calls in the game and being that guy. I got the whistle around my neck. I still love that. But now I'm constantly looking over my shoulder. And I would imagine a lot of that took place with a guy like Nick Saban.
Well, when you think about the different ways he's had to change his coaching style and adapt his philosophy. He came in as a very defensive-minded coach, and then around 2012-13 era, that's when it shifted to, okay, we need to be more offensive-focused. We need to get away from this pro style. We need to bring in a Lane Kiffin type of OC and spark up this offense a little bit. And then you start bringing guys like Jalen Hurts and Tua and Bryce Young, guys that were just elevating the quarterback position. And then last year, he kind of switched it back to a little more defense. And then you talk about just the way college football has changed from the BCS to the playoff, now to the expanded playoff with the NIL and transfer portal. It's changed a lot very, very quickly. And, you know, I wouldn't blame him if that's the main reason. I don't think it's the main reason, but I think it's a big one.
I wouldn't blame him at all if that comes out to be the biggest reason. Maybe, who knows? I'm sure there's going to be a book or a documentary or something about Nick Saban and then his final days at Alabama, too. I'm sure that's going to happen. So for Nick Saban, and I want to get into this a little bit later on, because Joe Parker, the athletic director for CSU, was on a podcast with our friends from Ram Nation. You heard them fill in for me a couple of weeks ago. We're going to have Mike Rowe on the show. Joe was opening up and talking a lot about how, I mean, not giving solutions, but how do you regulate this stuff? And you probably heard Miles Blumhardt on this morning on Good Morning NoCo talking about how he was frustrated with some of Joe Parker's comments about NIL. But I don't think he's wrong. I don't think he's altogether wrong on a lot of this stuff. It is this necessary evil. Maybe it's not even evil. It's this necessary beast that some coaches have an easier time getting their hands around. I don't know, Angel, a coach that actually would say, if you put a lie detector test on them, they actually like this. That this is, oh no, this is great for the players. This is good. So that it's all good for me. I don't, there probably are, but I can't imagine. Now, there are players, there are coaches that like the transfer portal and also hate it. Primetime might be a good example of that. He's basically wishing Nick Saban farewell, but in the process, he says, college football, let's hold up our mirrors and say, honestly, what you see, the game has changed so much that it chased the GOAT away. But Primetime is utilizing the very thing that he is saying chased the GOAT away. And I don't disagree with him for saying this or for using this, because it is the necessary evil now. This is part of the game. If you're not playing it, you will lose. I don't know that Joe Parker was necessarily excited about a collective and all this stuff. He says all the right things, and I know he and John Weber at the Green and Gold Guard have a good relationship, but I don't think that people really want to do this. They're forced to do it because this is how you stay relevant. This is how you compete now, and I think this opens up this entire conversation again. When you're college football and you lose the GOAT, perhaps, the greatest coach of all time, maybe the greatest coach of all time, in Nick Saban, and if that is truly the reason, it forces you to keep looking more and more, but you're also not in control of everything. This is bigger than college sports now. So it does reopen this conversation, which this conversation gets reopened once a week, at least, about NIL and the transfer portal. But you lose a guy like Nick Saban, and if it comes out that this was the primary reason for it, then again, it's going to be harder to build these legends up. And the legends of the game make this game more attractive, more entertaining. The storylines that go behind these games are just better. And so if you start losing those guys because it's just too much, it's too much. If you're Harbaugh, you just won a national title, it's probably going to be fairly easy to recruit, but that doesn't mean everything necessarily, because how are you keeping your backups? How are you keeping the depth at offensive line when you got guys that are like, I was a backup center and I was on a national championship team. I know I can go play somewhere else and I could start somewhere else, so I'm going to do that. I don't know how you do it. So it's going to get more complicated when a great like that calls it quits. And perhaps for those kind of reasons, you got to keep looking inwardly. You have to figure something out down the road. It has to be regulated. Eastside Chris, Brady, the hardest job would have to be the next head coach for Alabama. Total scrutiny. If I were Dan Lanning, whose name keeps coming up.
He's staying in Oregon.
It came out? Mm-hmm. Where did you read that?
He posted it on his social media.
Oh, you believe him?
Yeah, it's been confirmed. Yeah, he's staying in Oregon.
I remember Mel Tucker said he was staying in CU and he was at Michigan State like the next day. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, yeah, be careful.
He shared a video of his first meeting with the team earlier this year. It was like, I'm staying here or whatever. So
okay, yeah. Well, whatever. A name, a prime time, whatever. These kind of guys. I'm telling you, stay put. Do not go to Alabama. Because as soon as you don't make the college football playoff next year, the pressure is all on the following year, and you're done.
Well, I think any coach understands the pressure that's there. I mean, no one's going to be the next Nick Saban. You're not just going to find him and that, you know, it's not like the Broncos getting Manning after Elway. It's going to be pressure-filled, but you also inherit a standard of a program that is ingrained in there. The process, the facilities, the recruiting ability, the NIL money that's there, the passionate fan base that exists there.
Are their facilities any better than Oregon's? I'm just asking. I mean,
they're pretty top tier.
Are they making just as much NIL money as Oregon?
I'm not sure.
So that's the thing. Like, if you have one of these top tier jobs already, don't leave for Alabama. Because the pressure will be extraordinary. I mean, and you're talking about, you know, already set up these expectations of the program. You're already seeing, like, Ryan Williams, number 9 overall recruit, decommits from Bama. You are going to see that because people committed to Nick Saban. They might love Alabama. Maybe they grew up around there like you, Angel, or maybe they're from all over the country. They're going there because of Nick Saban. And so you might see this mass exodus here, especially with the transfer portal being what it is, of Alabama players. So you're going to have that going against you, too. And what are some of the names? Sweeney, I've seen a couple. Like, those are the big names.
Dabo,
like,
Sweeney, Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian. I've seen some things about D'Amico Ryans. Lots of different stuff. I mean, Alabama's going to write a blank check for whoever they want to get.
They are.
It's just a matter of who's going to say no.
If you have the strong job, then I would say don't do it. If you have a lesser job, sure, but does Bama want the guy that has the lesser job? Probably not, because they're going to roll out that checkbook. They're going to give a superstar coach whatever he wants.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't expect the next coach to come in immediately and win a national championship in his first year. I that wouldn't be fair to him as a coach.
Second year?
I expect you to be competing in the playoffs now that it's 12 teams, and you know there's a better chance of you getting in as a wild card or whatever, but I'm not I've never expected the next coach to be Nick Saban 2.0 or even Bear Bryant 2.0, you know, school that's had two legendary coaches.
But you're
coaches
even
like
saying
that.
You better be in the playoffs the second year. You better be
I'm
in the
not
playoffs.
I'm not going to put expectations on a coach that I don't know who it is.
The
yet.
Pressure that
I expect
that
you to keep the
be,
standard of excellence and success.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying don't take that freaking job, because you're not going to achieve that likely in 2 years, especially when all these commitments were coming in for Nick Saban. There, a lot of them might leave. So you're not going to achieve that instant success.
But
I
could a coach
believe.
Bring in his own players from a previous school?
Maybe.
If it's Lane Kiffin, how many guys from Ole Miss transfer?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that could happen. I'm just saying, dude, if I were a stud coach like a Dan Lanning, I would wait it out for the next cycle, 2 to 3 years, and bam, if Bama moves on from that coach, because I think the expectations are going to be enormous for whatever it is Alabama is going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's because it's Alabama and the expectations
Correct.
Are there, but I also think there needs to be a level of patience and understanding
whoever this
guy is.
We just talked about it yesterday for like an hour about the expectations in football. Take that, take Alabama, and multiply that by 1,000. Like, those are the expectations. This isn't, no, get in here, man, and get your system in and find guys. Next year, get a few more of those guys to work out. And then, the third year, we want you to get into, you know, a bowl game. We want you to be 8 wins. It's not going to be any of that. Next year, you better be sniffing the top of this conference. You better be really close, and you better be sniffing the playoffs. The year after that, you better make the playoffs. Because if you don't, our fan base won't deal with that. Our boosters won't deal with that. You speak to so many people that put ridiculous pressure. I watched the only thing I took from the documentary on Urban Meyer on Netflix, which was terrible, but it was, I was amazed. Florida lost 2 games, I think, his first year, and it was as if Urban Meyer was the devil himself, because he did not resurrect this team. They did not win a national championship, but they only lost 2 games, and he was feeling the crunch already in year 1. So that's why I would stay the hell away from it. And if you go, you just have to be ready for it. The pressure is going to be enormous. 29 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly coming up next.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, let's read some text. Dude, there's so much going on. I barely had to prep for the show today. Like, most of the time, I'm digging pretty deep on a lot of different stories, things we want to go into. But it's just so easy because of the news that's out there. But before we do that, let's go with Hikes Hardware. Love Hikes Hardware, man. That what they do, helping you out, getting you the right stuff. When you walk in there, you're going to be greeted with people that know what the hell they're doing. They're veteran and locally owned. They're Greeley's original hardware location. They've been doing that since 1954. They got Benjamin Moore and Beyond Paint. Maybe you're in that mode. New year, new you, new house, new look, whatever. Check out Hikes Hardware for all those 2024 projects that you've perhaps been putting off for a while. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I got to hand it to our boy, Big Hub, former CSU Ram. He texted this yesterday at 1249. It's time to get rid of the old and in with the new. Pete's time was good and Russ's time was good, but we need fresh bodies. Same with Nick Saban and Bill. And I was like, what? And then shortly after that, Hub reached out. He's like, dude, I told you. He said, I just want to apologize to Angel. I wasn't expecting to call it yesterday.
I don't need apologies.
But
I don't play for the team. I didn't go to the school.
Angel, you are one of the biggest fanboys of the Miami Dolphins that I've ever met in the history of my life.
How many Dolphins fans have you met?
Good point. But you defend Tua as if he were your brother. So I'm just saying, when you talk about the teams you like, people hear it and they know that you're emotionally invested in these teams. I was rooting for the Broncos to lose last week. So people are not apologizing to me if Russell Wilson gets cut. But people know how invested you are with like a guy like Tua and your fandom of Alabama. It's not a bad thing. You're a big fan.
You don't need to feel sorry for me. It's change. It happens. It was going to happen at some point. I'm an adult. I'm a big boy. I can handle this. It's fine.
Well, I'm sorry, man. If you need to talk, we can talk a little later on. It's okay.
I don't need to talk. It's coach.
No. You do you, man. It's fine. I get it. You're harboring feelings right now, you know?
I'm sad. Am I sad that he's not coaching anymore?
Yes. Let it out, man. Play some sad music.
I'm not going to get in tears about it.
Violin stuff. Just
I'm not like that.
Just go sit in a dark room and listen to, like, Alanis Morissette or something.
What is that going to do?
It's going to make you feel better, man.
I feel fine.
Alabama may never win again. They may never, ever win another national championship.
And that's what it is.
My job is to get the sad out of you, sink you to the bottom of how depressing this really is if you're an Alabama fan.
It's sad, but it's, he wasn't going to coach forever. Bear Bryant didn't coach forever.
Yeah, but he was Nick Saban. He might have been invincible.
Sure, I thought he coached another 5 years or so, but, it's his decision. I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to
just let it out.
I'm not going to let it depress me and put me in a corner all night. It's
nobody puts Angel in a corner.
That's what it is.
Flying Dutchman, I think Ed Orgeron and Jimbo Fisher are pretty happy with those $50 million plus buyouts. I'm sure the next Alabama coach will be just fine. Well, yeah, I mean, we're talking about money. Of course, the money. These guys are millionaires. It's not about the money anymore to these guys. It's about the reputation, and these guys elevate so high above the money that, like Russell Wilson, it's about the money, but it isn't. It's about his status. It's about his Hall of Fame status. It's about where he stacks up with the greats. That's how high above most sports people these guys are. They're not worried about getting fired and losing money. They're worried about, or whatever, they're worried about their legacy. That's how well off they are in life, that their biggest focus in the world is their legacy. Let's read some more texts here. B-Rad, do you think they would look towards the NFL coaches that need a job, like Vrabel? Are you hearing Vrabel's name with Alabama?
I'm hearing D'Amico Ryan's name.
Which is interesting.
That would be a big jump. It'd be an interesting change. Obviously, he would make more money at Alabama as the coach. He
Isn't
played
that crazy?
There. I could see it. I think he'd be a good fit. I think Vrabel would be a good fit.
Is that a stupid question? Is that where Vrabel played football, college football?
I don't believe so.
I don't know where he played college football. The scary thing
I'm
about
Kirby
that,
Smart as well, so that's not out of the question.
I've got a million names pulled up here. I think the scary part about hiring an NFL coach, because it's kind of the reverse too. Like Nick Saban struggled in the NFL. He did have who was he? Miami? Was it Miami?
Has he lifted their curse?
Who was the quarterback for the Dolphins that year? I thought somebody pretty significant.
Well, he wanted Drew Brees.
Right. He wanted Drew Brees and couldn't, whatever happened it just didn't work out. Obviously, Drew Brees ended up going to the Saints.
Well, there was the concerns about his shoulder.
And so they didn't...
They
didn't make the move. So had they made that move, who knows, man? Nick Saban might have stayed and had...
Well, you can thank his wife for that move.
Whose wife?
Terry Saban. She was the one that set up the meeting in Tuscaloosa.
To get him out of there?
They were in Miami, and then he's like, I'm not going. I'm not taking the Alabama job. I'm not taking it. And then, like, later on that afternoon, he flew out to Tuscaloosa, or I think someone from Tuscaloosa flew to Miami, talked to him, and then, like, 2 days later, he was gone.
Weird how things work out. B-Rad says, oh, no, sorry, I just read that text. Let me get this other one here. Codes texting in. Unpopular opinion. The transfer portal and an expanded playoff has wiped out generational legacies because you can go anywhere now and make money and compete in the playoffs. The grassroots campaigns where loyalty is built is in the rearview mirror, except the new reality. You don't have to go to Alabama anymore.
Saban had Joey Harrington as the quarterback.
Oh, Joey Harrington. That's a good text, Codes. I do think that's the reality. I saw Shedeur Sanders all over social media last night. Hey, Bama, get in. Get in the portal. We'll see what happens with
this. How many spots are on football teams? Didn't we learn this last year?
I don't know. There's a lot. There's like is there 100?
These kids, they're not going to be backups anywhere. All of these kids that go into the portal want to be a starter somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I'm going to go in the portal and work for the number two or number three spot. No, it's I'm going in because I want to, because I'm almost being guaranteed a starting job.
That, and who's the coach that's going to get me to the next level? Who's the coach that's going to help me get that bag and be entertaining and all that stuff? And I do think that's where primetime does have that. And we'll see how long it lasts. But for now, he still has it.
Who has he gotten to the next level?
He has the bag thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you've checked out their NIL deals. They're way better than most in the country.
Okay.
Yeah, Shedeur makes more than most. I would imagine Shedeur made more than the Bama quarterback this year. So
I mean, it's Shedeur Sanders. Like, Jalen Milroe's not walking around with a $70 million watch all.
Travis Hunter's walking around with that.
Yeah, because Travis Hunter's one of the top players in college football.
Alabama didn't have a top player in college football?
Not at quarterback, no.
What about cornerback and also wide receiver?
Kool-Aid McKinstry? Yeah, he's sponsored by
Kool-Aid. Is he making what Travis Hunter's making? Why don't you Google it? Because I'll
bet
you...
details. I don't care about NIL money.
Well, then why bring it up, bro?
We're talking about it.
I'm telling you why primetime would have ability to pull guys away from Alabama. And you're saying it's because of their shot to start.
Well,
I'm saying it's because they're going to make money, bro. They're going to go make money.
Okay,
that's what these guys
good.
Are doing
go
NIL
make money.
For. Okay, you're arguing with me saying that the only reason guys are entering the portal is because they're guaranteed a starting job. That is false. They are entering the transfer portal to make
money.
Yeah,
and the money is addition to it, yes.
That is not an addition. Dalton Kinect started for the UNC Bears.
You're going to make more money as a starter than going in to make money as a backup. That's just it.
You're going to, but it's not just about, I'm going to go somewhere and start at a position. If I can go somewhere, start, but it's also the money. The money is going to be where I go. If you say you can be the starting quarterback here or here, who has the biggest NIL deal? That's where I'm going. It's not about the starting position.
But why not go and start?
If you can go,
if I can make more money as a starter, why would I go just to be a backup?
I'm talking about the reasons kids transfer now. This number 9 recruit for Alabama was going to start for Alabama. Who is a better college?
I don't. They're freshmen all the time that don't start at Alabama.
Number 9. Let's pretend. Play along. Number 9's going to go to Alabama and start. That is a better college football program historically than CU. Hands down, no question about it, no debate. He just backed out. If he goes to Boulder, what is the reason for that? It's not to be a starter. It's not to go to the NFL. It's to get money from Boulder, to get money from the University of Colorado. That's what this is about. And for now, primetime has that. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you guys want to chime in on Nick Saban, the Bill Belichick stuff. How about the Nuggets last night? Angel, let's do that real quick. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is I'm just taking a moment to reflect. I know Angel says he's not sad. I'm sad. Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, and Pete Carroll are leaving the programs that we followed so closely and seeing so much success from those guys. They're not all done. It sounds like Bill Belichick still wants to coach. We'll see what happens with Saban. We'll see what happens with Carroll. But either way, it's a good day to at least think about the greatness that those types of coaches brought to college football and the National Football League. The bad for me, the Buffs lose last night. They were up 20 at the half. It was a rough night of basketball. I mean, it was losing to Cal. Yeesh. That was not ideal. And it's got people really putting pressure on a guy like Tad Boyle today. The Buffs are 11-5 and 2-3 in the Pac-12 after losing to the then 5-10 California Golden Bears. It was it wasn't quite 20. It was 40-26 at the half. Cal outscored CU 56-38. Tristan Da Silva had a moment at the buzzer to hit a game-winning three. It missed, and the Buffs dropped their third conference game. The ugly was ugly. The Denver Nuggets last night. I should have been smart on this. I didn't like the line. I didn't like the -7.5. They are 1-15 in their last 16 games in Utah. Why can't they? It's the altitude. Wait a second. We're the altitude people. I don't know what it was, but it was from tip to finish. The Utah Jazz had all the control in this game. Joker had a better game. He shot 9 times, but he had 27 points. He got to the free throw line 12 times. He was 10 of 12, but it was a rough outing. Utah did whatever the hell they wanted on the offensive side of the ball. Absolutely tough. You have to throw that one in the trash quickly. And that's the good, the bad, the ugly. 48 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Take a quick break. I'm going to have Mike Rowe from Ram Nation Radio join me in a moment. And we're going to talk about the interview that was conducted on their site with Joe Parker. They do a weekly sit down with him. Joe Parker talking about NIL. He is partially blaming a rather large entity throughout our country for driving the NIL and transfer portal narrative. We'll discuss more in detail coming up a little bit later on. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Welcome back into the program. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Big playoff weekend coming up in the NFL. Very excited about most of these games. I think all of them. I'm excited about all of them. I'm not looking at too many duds here. But maybe you're wanting to get a little get-together going, or just you or your family, whatever. On the Rocks Liquor is going to help you out. They got the best stuff for you. They got a perfect blend of the local stuff, supporting local breweries and local distilleries. But also they're going to have your household names, your big brands and stuff too. That's On the Rocks Liquor. They got a free wine and beer tasting. They do it every single Friday, 4 to 7 o'clock. That's On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by Chevron. The whole the poll question of the day, if I can spit that out. We're about at the halfway mark for the Nuggets at this stage. I think they're 39 games in. I want to get the vibe here. Nearly halfway through the season, how are you feeling about the Nuggets' chances of repeating as champs? And Angel, I didn't give the cop-out one today. I just said not so good or really good. You got to pick one or the other. And I'm going to go really good at this stage, although 58% of the Hooligans are saying not so good. For some reason, just hope they don't play the playoffs. Hope they don't meet up with the Jazz in the playoffs, because beating them on the road seems to be almost an impossible task, at least for the last 16 games.
No, until this team shows me alarming levels of concern, if they don't have the starting five out there, then no. They're going to be fine.
It was a weird game. They didn't even look like the Nuggets last night. That didn't even look like the same team.
Well, from what DeAndre Jordan said, that they overlooked them. And that's not something you can do.
Why do you overlook a team that you were 1-14 against in their building? Like, that's insane to me.
I'm sure that's something Malone brought up, but I mean, it's a team that's, you know, at or below 500, and you know, they don't really have one big superstar. There's not a big big national narrative about them. I think it's easy to come out flat, and you know, if you just you don't feel good about it early, it's hard to find that late in the game. Like the Warriors game is a good comparison because it's the Warriors. It's Steph Curry, and yeah. Steve Kerr, and Klay Thompson, and it's easy to get up and hey, let's rally for 6 minutes.
Yeah, it was just a terrible game. I mean, as I'm watching this, they were down 22, cut it to 12 at one point in the third. I still didn't even get a good vibe there. It just felt like, and this is a bummer too, because they had like 3 nights off, right? When did they play? Last Sunday?
Yes.
So they had Monday and Tuesday off. I know they're exhausted because they've had a lot of back-to-backs, but that was enough time for them to kind of settle down, rest up, whatever. Joker was good. He was efficient. He didn't play much into the fourth. I was shocked Michael Malone put him back in. There's about 6 minutes left, usually when Joker enters the fourth, and the Nuggets were down 21-22. I think that was more of a, we need to get some momentum. Yeah, we're talking about momentum. See, I think that's a real thing. Momentum in for the next game. This group's got to play a little bit better together. We've got to get you ready. I don't know. It almost felt like a punishment to put the starters back out there with 6 minutes to go.
The Nuggets are tied for first with the most number of games played so far this season.
It's wild. And they've got to be up there as far as one of the teams that had the most back-to-backs, too.
I believe they are leading in back-to-backs.
Why is that? Why does the team that goes the furthest get punished and have to play more back-to-backs? Shouldn't they be the team that's the most tired out there? Top stories of the day coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.